The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Is this unprecedented to arrest a former president for not turning in documents?
Well, I don't know of any other former president that had committed this many provable criminal acts.
But what are the provable criminal acts, I guess?
Provable criminal acts. Well, I'm done talking.
He's done talking. You can't very well maintain your stranglehold on power without all the useful idiots. There's plenty of them out there. Rush Limbaugh called them the low-information voters. Here's a perfect example of someone working with not very much information. He actually takes the time out of his schedule, goes out to Trump Tower, I assume that's in New York, and protests. There's the big banner, arrest Donald Trump. And someone asks him, what are the provable criminal acts? And he can't think of one. He has to just cut off the interview. Right there. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining our growing audience. You know about CRN, Channel 3 on that platform. Also, our website, thetrumpet.com. Make sure you go to thetrumpet.com/live every day at 11 a.m. if you choose to watch the program live. I know many of you watch it after the fact. And you can certainly get to all of those podcasts that are posted after the fact at our website, thetrumpet.com. Just look for The Trumpet Daily. So what you saw right there is a perfect illustration of everything that's wrong in the nations of Israel today. There's quite a lot in here, by the way. America under attack. I know I keep plugging this, but look, it's soon to be hot off the presses. And there's quite a lot of content in here on will worship. And that's what we see on display. What are the provable criminal acts? I don't know. Mika said he should be arrested. This is the way they think. This is the way they operate. So many of them. You know, a few weeks back, we had that section on this program about the depths of Satan, Revelation 2 and verse 24. You can look at the verse later on your own time. And my father makes the point. In chapter 6 of AUA, he says that, look, some of this requires a little bit of study. The exact quote is, Satan knows that if he makes it complicated enough to require deep study to understand it, most people won't dig into it, and he can deceive them. If it's just a little complicated, they'll just take what Mika says. They'll just go by what the New York Times reports. I'll get to the Washington Post here in just a second. But right at the top of Morning Joe, I mean, they pulled the walls are closing in off the shelf. I mean, they use it every, 6-8 weeks? I think in the 10 minutes I saw, there were at least 3-4 references to the walls are closing in. Well, what exactly are the provable criminal acts? You would think if there was some damning evidence, it was taken Monday now, so we're 3 days on from it. Somebody surely would have leaked it by now. Really, all of this just for the Presidential Records Act of 1978? This is what they're now hoping will bring down the former president of the United States? Or maybe it's Letitia in New York, the AG in New York. Well, he's pleading the fifth, so he must be hiding something. As I said yesterday, how could he not plead the fifth? Look at the way these people operate. We'll come to that in just a second as well. Lots and lots to get to on today's show. The walls are closing in. So says the media. Rush, by the way, used to call them the drive-bys. He defined that as they arrive on the scene on major breaking news and they stir up emotions to a frenzied fever pitch. They spread lies And then after a few hours or a few days, when the real facts emerge, they're gone. Well, the real facts are beginning to emerge about this raid on the president's house in Mar-a-Lago. Donald Trump's house happened on Monday, and we're getting all of these disturbing revelations. And what does the Washington Post want for you to know this morning in their newspaper? The title is, U.S. Joins Other Democracies in Investigating Former Leaders. Boy, this just happens all the time. Look, democracies do this routinely. What about the facts of the raid? Never mind. Look, just trust us on this. He's a crook. He's guilty of all of these provable criminal acts. Which ones? Listen, you're not paying attention. It doesn't matter whether it's the case in New York or this bogus case with Presidential Records Acts or the librarian that triggered it from the National Archives. However we get him, he's a criminal. He's just guilty. That's all that you need to know. The Washington Post says, if you were immersed in the right-wing media ecosystem of the United States, you would think the end times had come. The Monday evening FBI search on former President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago property in Florida was the worst, they're quoting, this is the right-wing echo chamber, says the Washington Post, the worst attack on this republic in modern history, declared Fox News's Mark Levin. It says that remarkable demonstration of myopia was followed by a slate of Republican lawmakers who insisted that if Trump was not safe from investigation, neither were ordinary Americans. And so then the Washington Post goes on to helpfully point out, this happens all the time. There's nothing to worry about here. A former president having his property raided, a former president's wife having these agents of the FBI going through her closet. That's normal. That's totally normal. These are the papers, the Post and the New York Times. I mean, they basically set the agenda for the news cycle. Joe and Mika go through it, and then they establish this is what you're going to be hearing all day today on MSNBC. The walls are closing in. And this is not unusual for a former president to be persecuted like this. It says here the FBI was acting Monday with a search warrant signed by a federal judge. This federal judge, you know, he was actually a magistrate. He was like a clerk, basically. He wasn't appointed. Nobody in the Senate voted him. No president nominated him. He was just picked by some other judge in 2018. So he's been in this court for a few years. And it's obvious he's contributed to Barack Obama. He's contributed to Jeb Bush. He's made derogatory statements online about Donald Trump. He even, just a few months ago, he recused himself from a Donald Trump lawsuit aimed at Hillary Clinton. Because I guess his thinking was a little more clear back then that, well, if I were left to preside over this, I'd side for Clinton. So he rightfully took himself out. This is the guy. Is this the one? This is the guy that's going to bring down President Donald Trump together with the little librarian at the National Archives? No wonder Chris Ray took off. Made it seem like I've got a very important flight to catch. In fact, he caught a flight to his vacation spot. He used a government plane to go vacation over the weekend. All of these facts that are now starting to come in, the drive-bys are gone. At least they're not concerned about the facts, all of the disturbing facts surrounding the raid on Donald Trump's house. Just the News, John Solomon, he said Trump got spring, he got a, well, further on, 2 months before his Florida home was raided by the FBI, former President Donald Trump secretly received a grand jury subpoena for classified documents belonging to the National Archives and voluntarily cooperated by turning over responsive evidence, surrendering security surveillance footage, and allowing federal agents and a senior Justice Department lawyer to tour his private storage locker, according to a half dozen people familiar with the incident. This happened just 2 months ago. And you read through this article, and what you see from beginning to end, from beginning until Monday, total cooperation. The Fed saying, look, we're trying to sort out which documents go in the National Archives. And the whole way through, Donald Trump saying, sure, take, we'll give you what you want. Come take a look at what we have. Look into my storage locker. He's instructing his lawyers to cooperate in. This is the way it generally works. Only with previous presidents, as I've noted earlier this week. I mean, if Barack Obama said, no, I'm keeping these. Look, I'm going to digitize everything, and you'll get to see it when I decide you get to see it. Oh, okay, whatever you say, Mr. Obama. Whatever you say about those classified documents, Mr. Comey. But not this time. Here they're getting perfect cooperation from the Trump team. It says here, while the cooperation was mostly arranged by his lawyers, Trump personally surprised the DOJ, National Security Division prosecutor, and three FBI agents who came to his Mar-a-Lago compound on June 3rd. So this was just 2 months earlier. Greeting them as they came to pick up a small number of documents compliant with the subpoena, the sources told Just the News, speaking only on condition of anonymity because the visit was covered by grand jury secrecy. So now, at least we're starting to get a few whistleblowers that are coming forward to tell the truth. There should be more. Maybe there are more coming out from the FBI. All this outrageous behavior. Says here, Secret Service agents were also present and facilitated the visit. The Secret Service helped them. Trump's lawyers helped them. Trump himself showed up, patted him on the back. You're doing a good job, fellas. Says here, Trump signaled his full cooperation, telling the agents and prosecutor, look, whatever you need, let us know. According to two eyewitnesses, whatever you need, just let us know. The federal team was surprised by the president's invitation and asked for an immediate favor to see the 6-foot by 10-foot storage locker where his clothes, shoes, documents, and mementos from his presidency were stored at the compound. It says, given Trump's instruction, the president's lawyers complied and allowed the search by the FBI before the entourage left cordially. 5 days later, DOJ officials sent a letter to Trump's lawyers asking them to secure the storage locker and with more than a lock that they had seen. The Secret Service installed a more robust security lock to comply. Whatever you want, we'll do it. Put a big padlock on it. Okay, let's do it. Around the same time, the Trump Organization, which owns Mar-a-Lago, received a request for surveillance video footage covering the locker and volunteered the footage to federal authorities, sources disclosed. Could you also give us security footage of this locker? Sure! What else do you need? Come on back if you need to. Listen to this from... This is one of Donald Trump's attorneys, Lindsay Halligan. She was on with Fox News last night, clip number 11.
So I arrived around 11 a.m., and there were about 30 to 40 FBI agents that I saw, five of which were wearing suits. The rest were in cargo pants, masks, and gloves. And they basically had unfettered access to the property. They refused to talk to me, refused to let me in. All I knew is that they were searching areas 1, 2, and 3, which I understood to be the former president's bedroom, his office, and a storage room. And other than that, we were not allowed to talk to them or go inside at all.
Wow, what a change. What a change in these FBI officials. Now, all of a sudden, don't want to talk to the lawyers. You stay outside. Yeah, we're going to go through every room. We unfettered access. That's what we're demanding. We've got the subpoena, or not the subpoena, the warrant. They had the subpoena 2 months ago. No subpoena this time around. No pleasant request for additional documents. This time, 40 armed FBI agents show up, and they tell the representatives for Donald Trump, who's out of town, by the way, that you just stay out. You don't observe anything that we're doing. We're going to go through any room that we want, and we're going to take what we need. And they did. Here again is the attorney for Donald Trump, clip 12.
They had unfettered access to the property. They looked at God knows what in there and did God knows what in there. We have no idea. What the FBI did was an appalling display of abuse of power. All documents requested were previously handed over. President Trump and his team painstakingly reviewed every single document at Mar-a-Lago and gave the government what they requested. If they needed any other documents, they could have just asked. And the warrant was secured under seal. So they tried to get away with concealing this overreach by obtaining a warrant under seal. Nobody knew about it. They knew that President Trump was in Bedminster and hasn't been at Mar-a-Lago for some time. They thought they could sneak in, snoop around without attorneys present.
This is the United States of America. This is your FBI. You know, the one that Chris Wray said, we try to do everything even without giving an appearance of being biased. I think that's clip 21. Play that again.
I have communicated consistently since I started as director that our folks need to make sure that they're not just doing the right thing, that they're doing it in the right way, and that they avoid even the appearance of bias or lack of objectivity.
Yeah, tell the ones on Monday about what you testified just last week before you headed off for your government paid for vacation spot. Just the News says the disclosure Wednesday to Just the News raised immediate new questions in legal and congressional circles about the necessity for the subsequent raid, including whether the judge who approved the warrant knew of the earlier cooperation. The National Archives, that attorney there, went on to say on Fox News that the National Archives had praised the Trump people. Yeah, we've had a really good working relationship with them. But the guy at the top, appointed by Obama, you see, they all come out of the woodwork, don't they? Hey, we've got even low level, a magistrate. He's not even really a federal judge. Here are these communists in the media. They talk about how important language is. All right, raid. We can't use the word raid. Well, what about this federal judge? You would think the Washington Post would find a lot of this detail alarming, but they've already driven by. They've already driven by. All that you need to know is that when governments go after their predecessors, that's completely normal. It's not third world. It's not some kind of a dictatorship. That's the way democracies operate. Democracies all over the world. You just see it so routinely. That's in the Washington Post this morning. Believe it or not. Just the News says here, I mean, the idea that he was subject to, they're quoting from Jonathan Turley here, the idea that he was subject to a subpoena, complied with the subpoena, didn't challenge it, voluntarily showed the storage room to the agents, followed their advice, secured it to meet their demands, all of this is hardly a basis for saying, now we need to send in 40 FBI agents on a raid. And oh, yeah, we need to do it when Trump's out of town. And we know he's out of town. They got the warrant on Friday, and they waited until Monday. Why not go Friday? Why not go Saturday? Why not Sunday? You got to wait till Monday. Oh, that's right. He's going to be heading up to New York and New Jersey. He's got the big deposition with Letitia. It's all coordinated perfectly. Says here, the flurry of cooperation in June came months after Trump had already returned about 15 boxes of documents. You need documents? Here they are. National Archives calls, ask for the documents. Take them. Have at it. The U.S. officials who confirmed the June 3rd voluntary visit and subpoena compliance refused to say whether U.S. Magistrate Judge Bruce Reinhardt was appraised of the full extent of Trump's compliance. Well, I mean, the FBI, it's an honor system. Don't you know this? The FBI, when they go in and try to obtain a warrant, of course, the other side's not there to plead their case. They're in the dark. They have no idea. So when the FBI goes in, they're going to tell them all this information, aren't they? That, well, we subpoenaed them back a couple months ago, and they've been wonderful to work with. They've been totally compliant. You think the FBI told this judge that? Of course not. We learned through the FISA process just a couple seconds ago. that they lie. They go in there and they lie to the judge. They get the warrant for the wiretap or the raid or whatever it is. And then they proceed as usual, proceed with business. And then the Washington Post there to helpfully provide cover. This happens all the time. This is very normal. This is a sign, say Joe and Mika, that democracy is strong. It says the FBI then waited 3 days after getting the judge's approval before executing the warrant, one of many oddities in the timetable. I should say, quite a lot of oddities. But you see, the drive-bys, they're gone. They're not concerned about any of these facts. They just need for you to know that Trump should be arrested. Put the banner out in front of Trump Tower. Bring in the protesters, all the useful idiots. Do you have any, you say there's provable acts of criminal behavior. What are they? We're going to have to cut this off at this moment. I mean, this is, if it weren't so deadly serious, it's high comedy, isn't it? Just the News says here, Just the News obtained a court document showing that Reinhardt, just 6 weeks before signing the warrant, recused himself. Well, that goes into the recusal and so on. And it talks about his appointment as a federal magistrate in 2018. You know about you think the Washington Post is interested in that history of fighting for Jeffrey Epstein, defending Jeffrey Epstein and all of his colleagues and customers even? Does that interest the Washington Post that Reinhardt, that was his previous job, his previous place of employment? Are they interested in the fact that he was an Obama donor, that he hated Trump? Yet another one. I mean, they just come out of the wood. Vindman, who can forget him with the Ukraine impeachment? These no names coming out of the wood. And now we know from Newsweek there was a mole, another mole. A mole that told the FBI he's got some documents in here that are classified. Well, the mole must have been just about as much of an idiot as the guy at the top of the show. Because it took him, what, 10, 12 hours to finally get to it? Lots of questions. Lots of unusual developments, facts, whatever you want to call them. When you look at the timetable, when you look at how this raid played out, when you look at the cooperation that the Trump people gave to them all along the way, do you think any of this is justified? Do you think this is justice? Do you think this is fairness and justice? Given the documents that Obama kept for himself, that Hillary destroyed on her laptop, it's just appalling. This standard. Listen to Jesse Waters last night as he's talking about the chief librarian, as he calls him, over at the National Archives. This is clip 3.
The guy that runs the National Archives, an Obama appointee, David Fierro, this little liberal librarian, it started with him. So he was watching TV on Inauguration Day, saw Trump's entourage carrying some boxes into Marine One as he left the White House. And he says this, I can remember watching the Trumps leaving the White House and getting off in the helicopter that day. And someone carrying a white banker box and saying to myself, what the hell's in that box? So this liberal librarian called the Department of Justice and said, hey guys, can you get my stuff back? That belongs to me. This is the same little librarian that when Hillary had millions of sensitive documents in her country home, he didn't even try to get them back. He didn't lift a finger. Classified documents about Al-Qaeda, Benghazi, Russia. The guy didn't care. When Hillary bleached her server with all her precious documents that needed to be archived, did the librarian say anything? No, he didn't say anything. That's who this guy is. This time the whistleblower is a persnickety librarian who misses Barack Obama. Obama took 30 million documents back to Chicago for his library. The librarian loved it. You can't even see these documents. Obama said he was going to digitize them. Did that ever happen? Have they even built the library yet?
They haven't. They haven't even built Obama's library yet. All the people up there in that neighborhood, they don't want it. They don't want him to come in there with that big project. So what about the documents? When did Obama leave office? 2017? Is the National Archives, are they concerned? You know this isn't about documents. This is an abuse of power. The goal, the aim, as we've covered all this week, is to keep Donald Trump out of the Oval Office, to keep him from returning to politics. Listen to another one of Trump's attorneys. This is Christina Bob, clip 17.
It tends to indicate that a nation is in decline when a new leader prosecutes their predecessor. So it's not a good look for us as a nation right now, but I don't think the Biden administration or the crazy Democrats that are in control right now care about what we look like. They only care about power, and they're willing to do anything to get it.
You keep hearing this, don't you? Just like my father wrote years ago, we're getting a hard look. Remember the 2018 article about saving America temporarily? We're getting a hard look at what the radical left is willing to do to maintain their grip on power. We got a hard look at it on Monday evening. I was telling a group of people last night, you know, the fact that raid went on, I don't think it broke. I mean, somebody emailed me. I was home Monday evening, and somebody emailed me, said, I guess you know what you're going to be talking about tomorrow. And in looking now at some of these facts as they've unfolded and the timeline and the fact that they were there at 9 a.m. and the scrutiny that Donald Trump comes under and the fact that there's probably reporters hanging around his compound all the time just to try to catch him doing anything, any criminal behavior that we can arrest him for. And here comes this FBI raid and we don't find out about it until Donald Trump sends out a statement later that day. I think it was eight, nine hours into the raid. Are these journalists even curious about these abuses of power and how they're being rolled out? What does this signal to the world about the United States of America? Well, she just told you right there. It's a bad look, but they don't care. They do not care. What they care about is maintaining their grip on power. Donald Trump must be destroyed. It's not enough to beat him at the ballot box, and they can't. They can't do that, by the way. So they must destroy him. They must put him in jail. Listen again to Jesse Waters from last night, clip 4.
Next thing you know, 30 guys with guns show up. Show Trump's lawyer the warrant. Don't let him keep the warrant. And spend 12 hours turning his mansion upside down. They wouldn't even let the lawyers watch what they were doing. Did they bug the place? Well, they bugged the campaign. And if they knew the archivists had told them what was missing, why didn't they just go in and grab what the archivist said was missing? Why'd they take all day, go into every room, grab box after box after box of stuff? See, now there's no chain of custody on the boxes. And if they plant evidence, Trump can't prove it. They planted evidence last time on the campaign. Remember the dossier, the moles? They doctored it too, remember? That's how they got the warrant to spy. Oh, guys, and by the way, the FBI lawyer who doctored evidence to get the warrant just got his law license restored in D.C. No jail time. So he can go back to doctoring search warrants. I mean, practicing law. So they're all over the mansion. They're in Melania's closet. You think Trump's sewing classified documents into the back of Melania's Chanel dress? Do you really think that? What a bunch of perverts rummaging around the First Lady's wardrobe. Again, Trump better sweep for bugs in the bedroom.
And, of course, the radical left responds to this just with outrage, feigned outrage. How dare you? How dare you call into question the motivation of the FBI? The FBI is a non-political agency of the federal government. The FBI would never lie to a judge. The FBI would never plant evidence or doctor it. As he points out there, they were just caught doing that like 2 seconds ago with the Trump-Russia collusion hoax. They lied to FISA judges. They doctored evidence. They changed emails. They'll stop at nothing to destroy Donald Trump. This, like I was saying yesterday, this really reveals even more about what they would have done leading up to the election to prevent him from winning a second term. You wish these commentators would take it a step further now. They're drawing it back to the Trump-Russia collusion. you know, 2016, 2017. I mean, that was a critical period, too. Here we are in 2022. But you notice that 2020 is right at the heart. It's right in the middle of this timeline of all these evil agents, these treasonous actors, and what they've been doing over and over again. You want to talk about provable acts of criminal lawlessness and criminal behavior? It's on display all the time. You mean someone named Reinhardt, and who's the other guy? Ferraro? They're going to bring down Donald Trump? It's Reinhardt. It's people like Reinhardt, Vindman, Ferraro. They should be in jail. And so should Obama be. Same with Clinton. Same with Joe Biden. Same with Hunter. There's actually evidence. I mean, it's right there on the laptop. The prostitution, the sex trafficking, the drug taking, the pay-for-play schemes, it's all there. They know all about it. They got close to Hillary's evidence, her laptop, you could say, and then she bleached it. And then she smashed it with a hammer. And, well, Jim Comey thought it was a little bit reckless, inappropriate, but certainly not gross negligence. Certainly not something that would get you prosecuted in a court of law. It's okay to smash your laptop. It's okay to obstruct justice if you're Hillary Rodham Clinton. But in the case of Donald Trump, even when he says, "Hey guys, welcome to Mar-a-Lago. Come on in. You want to see the storage room? Sure, have a look. Oh, you want to put a padlock?" They asked him to put a padlock on the storage room 2 months ago, and on Monday they came in with the bolt cutters, like Trump's trying to hide something. Listen to Rand Paul yesterday. Here again, the propagandists in the media, they absolutely go nuts when they hear someone say something like this. Clip 14.
No, people distrust so much the government that we've gotten to the point where, for example, do I know that the boxes of material they took from Mar-a-Lago, that they won't put things in those boxes to entrap him? How do we know? Their lawyers weren't allowed to see the boxes go. They weren't categorized.
That's going to be a problem.
Thousands of documents were taken. Yeah, mm-hmm. How do we know that they're going to be honest with us about what's actually in the boxes? How mm-hmm. do we know that was in the box before it left the residence if the lawyers weren't allowed to see everything? So, you know, they've lost a great deal of trust.
Yeah, I'll answer his questions. You know they're not going to be honest. They're not being honest in how they played out this raid. They were just playing along. You know, we've talked a lot about the parallels between what we're seeing in the United States and what we witnessed in the Mystery of the Ages lawsuit. I mean, we would get the agents, the attorneys from the other side, talking in June, so to speak. Oh yeah, hey, it's been great working with you. Here, we'll give you these documents. And then 2 months later, bam, they reveal their true intentions. They reveal that it was all a setup, that they were just sounding like an angel of light, when in fact they were motivated by the devil. We saw that play out in spiritual Israel. Now we're seeing it play out in physical Israel, the nations of Israel, the United States and Britain in prophecy. Request this book if you don't have it, so that you can understand where we are in Bible prophecy today. 1-866-930-3024. You need to know who we are. I mean, that's a good place to start in your study of Bible prophecy. What about America? Where do we fit in? The world's single greatest superpower in history? And yet there's a lot of people in the world of traditional Christianity that just say, well, we're not even mentioned in prophecy. What? That's fake religion. We are mentioned in prophecy. And you can find out where we are if you request Herbert Armstrong's book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. But coming back to these parallels, they're so stark. I mean, they're so obvious. They're so closely aligned, I should say. Listen now. You hear Rand Paul. You hear Donald Trump himself. You hear the lawyers. Hey, they shut us out. We were waiting outside in the circular driveway for 7 hours in 95 degree heat. And they said, no, you can't come in. We're just going to sift through these boxes. We're going to go into the we're going to bring in the bolt cutters. We're going to cut off the padlock that we told you to put on. We're going to go through Melania's clothing even. And they did. They did it for 10, 12 hours. All day Monday. Trump was out of town. So Rand Paul's right to say, how can we trust that they won't doctor the evidence, that they won't manipulate the contents of these boxes or add something to it or maybe take something out? We'll get to that in a minute here if we have time as well. Listen to Chris Wray yesterday, the reporter. You can't quite hear it as audibly as you'd like to, but I think we've put the words on the screen. But listen to this revealing exchange. This is clip one.
Former President Trump is raising the prospect of agents claiming evidence in the FBI search of his residence in Mar-a-Lago, saying his lawyers may have not allowed him to observe the search. Can you address that, particularly as many of Mr. Trump's supporters online have issued so-called call to arms and threats against your agents in light of the search?
Well, as I'm sure you can appreciate, that's not something that I can talk about, so I'd refer you to the department.
So the first part of that, if you are listening closely, she says former President Trump is raising the prospect of agents planting evidence in the FBI's search of his residence at Mar-a-Lago, saying that the lawyers were kept out and so on. Can you speak to that particularly? And a normal response coming from a patriot would be, absolutely not. That's outrageous for you even to suggest that. We're the FBI. We would never doctor evidence. We would never plant evidence, quote unquote. It offends me that you even bring it up. Something like that. If he's an honest patriot, that's how he responds. Instead, we get more of the same. I can't really get into that. It's an ongoing investigation. You can't really speak to the fact that Donald Trump says they may have doctored the evidence? Do you not have some kind of response? You're the FBI director. But listen, this is the statement he makes after. He says, I can't really speak to that. But notice what he can speak to. This is clip two.
As to the issue of threats, I will say that I'm always concerned about violence and threats of violence against law enforcement, and that is a topic that I have been talking about frequently, including earlier today with law enforcement partners here in Nebraska and yesterday with law enforcement partners in Iowa and Illinois. And any threats made against law enforcement, including the men and women of the FBI, as with any law enforcement agency, are deplorable and dangerous.
Even threw in the word deplorable there at the end. The FBI is the victim here. The FBI raids Donald Trump's compound on Monday. 40 agents, unannounced, after the Trump people had been totally cooperative for months. And here he says that we're in danger. Our law enforcement officials are in danger. We're the victim. And the deplorables, they're coming after us. The Trump people, they're coming after us. I played you the montage yesterday. All the talking heads, this is already in motion. The chatter, they tell us about the chatter. Oh, the comments on websites. The Proud Boys, they're getting ready. They're arming themselves. It's another January 6th insurrection. And meanwhile, they're raiding the property of a former president, a president that was in office just 18 months ago, and getting away with it. And the Washington Post this morning, this is normal. This is what happens all the time in democracies. Yeah, we see this. It's pretty routine what we're seeing. Sundance over at Conservative Treehouse, getting back to the documents and all of the mysterious details about, well, what are they after? Is this really about cocktail napkins and dinner menus? Is this really about a little handwritten note from Kim Jong-un or something that Donald Trump got as a memento in one of his travels? Or is there something more, something that the FBI is much more concerned about? Well, we talked yesterday about how it's a fishing expedition. Certainly, they're looking, they're hunting. They'll make it up if they have to. But then Sundance adds to the intrigue. It says here, knowing the details of the DOJ and FBI targeting operations against Donald Trump as a candidate and president, I suspect Trump took some of the declassified evidence of that targeting with him. Just to bring you up to speed on that, the backstory behind it, he left office. He said he wanted the backstory of what went into the Trump-Russia collusion hoax. Donald Trump declassified those documents. And in those last weeks that he was in office, the DOJ, I mean, including Bill Barr, they drug their feet. They didn't. Well, Durham's got the ongoing investigation, so we can't reveal it. And Durham, by the way, that's still going on. So Sundance is saying here that he thinks Donald Trump had those declassified documents. The president has the authority to do that, to declassify them. And that the DOJ wants those documents back so that they can control the flow of information and make sure, in this case, that it's blotted out. He says here, we remind ourselves that since leaving office, former Office of Director of National Intelligence John Ratcliffe has stated on multiple occasions that there were documents he and Trump declassified for Durham's team and to be made public. It says, as Ratcliffe has noted, those declassified documents were never released. The DOJ, FBI have instead been hiding behind the Durham investigation as the justification for not releasing them. It's an ongoing investigation. We can't speak to that. Did you guys doctor any evidence? It's ongoing. I can't really answer that. This is their go-to response when they get a little bit nervous. It says here, the National Archives are a false front, a general institutional tool for use in creating the optic slash narrative of a valid reason for challenging President Trump over documents. The real motive of the DNI, DOJ, and FBI are to get the evidence of the prior corrupt activity back in their total control. He says, I am confident this is the real scenario that people are not discussing. See, they don't want to be exposed. Above all, as my father has written before about Satan the devil, above all, he fears exposure. And what have we been talking to you about in the lead up to the printing of this book? Well, it's all through this book. He's being exposed. This raid on Monday, it's already backfiring. You know, Steve Bannon made the point this morning that you know, they of course they're always making a lot of noise, these propagandists in the media. But he says you get the sense that they're just not quite as smug, they're not quite as arrogant as they've typically been. They're still screaming, walls are closing in, there's case over here, Letitia did this, and well, these documents are going to reveal this, and well, Trump should be arrested. But they just don't look quite as smug, quite as arrogant as usual. And that's because, and I think he's right about this, Steve Bannon, that's because the walls are closing in on them. They're being exposed. Obama's being exposed. It says here, the DOJ and FBI are not only hiding the documents that former DNI Ratcliffe declassified and left for release, but they are also on a seek and capture mission for copies of those documents because they will never release them. This is also the deep state motive to drag out the Durham investigation. You see, the investigation, we point this out in AUA, the Mueller investigation was actually a cover-up. They were seeking after dirt on Donald Trump on the one tack, and then on the other one, they were trying to cover up their own lawlessness. And so with Durham, we're seeing a replay of that. We're seeing a replay. Part of the purpose of that investigation is to cover up the lawlessness. And so the raid, same strategy playing out again. Go in, just start rifling through all of these documents. Look for some dirt on Trump if you can. And also cover your own tracks, because the FBI, this is a non-political agency. We're not, there's no corruption. Look, there's no bias even. Peter Strzok said so. It says here, this is also the deep state. Well, I just read that. You know what's interesting? This post by Sundance. Paul Sperry, he made the same point, a similar point, on Twitter. I believe it was Monday night or Tuesday. His account gets suspended. This is how you know they're over the target. Sperry and Sundance. Sperry makes the same point. He says here, investigators reportedly met back in June with Trump and his lawyers in Mar-a-Lago storage room to survey docs and things seemed copacetic, but the FBI raids weeks later. Speculation on the Hill, it's kind of broken English here, it's a quick tweet. Speculation on the Hill, FBI had personal stake in searching for classified documents related to its Spygate scandal. And then moments later, he's blotted out of Twitter. You can't say that on Twitter. You can't go after the Obama deep state. We've got to cancel your account. We've got to do it right now. Sperry also said this. Conflicted DOJ officials briefed on the Mar-a-Lago raid. Nicholas McQuaid worked with Hunter Biden's and Michael Sussman's criminal attorneys. Lisa Monaco, Obama aide implicated in Russiagate. Maggie Goodlander, wife of top Biden aide Jake Sullivan, implicated in Russiagate. These are conflicted DOJ officials briefed on the Mar-a-Lago raid. They're involved in the Mar-a-Lago raid. Sperry reveals them. He exposes them. And then Twitter, big tech, comes in and says, that's it. No more Paul Sperry. Not on Twitter, anyway. Look at what my father wrote in America Under Attack. It says, in the fall of 2020, Director of National Intelligence John Ratcliffe, well, he basically makes a pretty big point out of what you just read from Sundance. That's in this new and expanded version of America Under Attack. These documents that are going to expose. They're going to expose the Obama deep state. This is America Under Attack. I think it is. Well, it's just the news, actually, talking about these documents. If I can just read part of it, I suppose. It says here, it's illegal to hide the documents from publication through the FOIA process if their sole purpose is to cover up an embarrassment or unlawful activity. And that's what's going on right now. Cash Patel told John Solomon, this is from a while back, it's shocking but not surprising since it has to do with President Trump, Patel added. So their hypocrisy is on display. And then it says at Just the News, the DOJ and FBI, he said, simply attempted to run out the clock as the administration's final hours wound down. So they don't want these documents to be released or revealed because they expose their lawlessness and their corruption. They expose their treasonous activity and behavior. They expose their provable criminal acts. AUA says this, but despite all the power that radical leftists have over government and the media, somehow the truth keeps coming out, my father writes. It's coming out not because of Republicans or even because of Donald Trump. What you need to realize is that God is causing the truth to emerge. He's giving all of us a good look at the truth. My father says, can you recognize it? It's the same thing that he did in the Mystery of the Ages lawsuit. We had all of those documents, lots of documents, turned over through discovery. And then we get toward the end of it and we reach settlement. And the Worldwide Church says, hey, we want all those documents back. We don't want those ever to see the light of day. We don't want you to write about them. We wrote all about them in Raising the Ruins. They wanted them back. They didn't want to be exposed. And we said, hey, we'll carry on with the lawsuit. We're keeping the documents and we're keeping Mystery of the Ages and all of the writings of Herbert Armstrong as well. My father, he talked about some of this in an older Key of David program. This is from back in 2009. Listen to clip 18.
Personally, I feel like God set a masterful trap and just kind of lured them into it slowly at the start. But with each passing year, there were more documents turned over. There was more testimony that had to be given. And then in the process, more contradictions that we were discovering. And in fact, more lies that were being exposed. And it wasn't until toward the end of that 6 years, I think, that they realized that they were trapped. And they knew that they were going to be exposed.
Well, there's yours truly back on the Key of David from 2009. I think it was actually that interview was recorded a few years before that. So forgive me if I look so much older than I did back in whatever it would have been. The lawsuit ended in 2003. I think we carried out that interview in 2004 and 5. But anyway, I'm there on the Key of David, basically talking about the documents and how they wanted them back. And really, by the end of it, they just felt trapped because they were exposed. God made sure of it. One more quick clip from that 2009 Key of David, clip 19.
Officials at the Worldwide Church of God pleaded in court for these many documents to be kept confidential and ultimately destroyed after the litigation ended. Why? Because, as their former in-house attorney wrote in a declaration at the conclusion of the case, such documents constitute the private, confidential, and internal discussion of underlying religious decisions regarding the changes in church doctrine, as well as the discussion and decisions regarding the publication or non-publication of church doctrine. After years of obscuring their actions, denying their motivations, and covering their tracks, that, as it turns out, was their final desperate attempt to bury the facts about how they went about transforming the church.
They fear exposure most of all. It's interesting, as one of our news gatherers brought out this morning, the fact that it took a number of years for the facts to finally emerge. Raising the Ruins came out in 2006. And America Under Attack, it's coming out. It's coming out this summer, and this is going to expose and these additional documents. You know, it really does say a lot, too, about Bill Barr. He was there until late December in 2020, left a little bit early, but he was there, and pretty much Ratcliffe turned all the documents over to the DOJ. President Trump declassified them, and Bill Barr basically was the one that said, okay, we'll take care of it. You know, Durham's going on at the moment. We'll take our time with this. I mean, this was one of the final acts of betrayal. In addition to not looking into the election steal, Bill Barr just turned a blind eye to it, made a couple of phone calls. Did you guys have any cheating going on up there? No? Okay, thank you. No evidence. And we heard that nonstop. We still hear it. Trump said this about the raid, even though he has no evidence. That's almost as common as walls closing in. In any event, Bill Barr, we'll take care of it. Yes, we want to release. We want transparency, right? Don't we want the truth out there? Bill Barr, he covers it up or moves it on to the next administration. And they're hard at work, even to this day, even to this week. They're hard at work trying to cover up the truth. Yesterday, I mentioned that section in America Under Attack on the war to recover what was stolen. There's a whole section on this regarding 2 Kings 14, verses 26 through 27. My father says here, verse 28 of 2 Kings 14 strongly indicates that Mr. Trump recovers his presidency by some kind of warring. Some kind of war. I mean, that's what we're seeing. That's a raid. Never mind what Mika says. Well, they're just searching. No, it's a raid. It's unconstitutional. It's a horrible abuse of power. It's all those things. It's armed officials. Handguns, machine guns, all of it. Bolt cutters. They raided the Mar-a-Lago compound on Monday. It went on for 10 or 12 hours. Maybe they had a mole, maybe they didn't, who knows? But all the storyline, it's almost like it's exactly the same. An insider, you know, a whistleblower told the FBI that the FBI then playing like they're just, you know, above politics, and then bam, they lower the boom when it's time to get in there and cover their tracks. They're being exposed though. And just like my father says, in America Under Attack, just like the history of the lawsuit over Mystery of the Ages brings out, God will see to it that the devil and his handiwork is fully exposed under the furious light of day. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to submit some feedback to the show, you can email us, td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.